Grace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to refresh our memories with the Bible reading from last week, from Easter Sunday, so that we have a bit of context for the sermon today. So last week we had the earlier part of the Gospel of John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and John, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but John outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, John, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand, however, from Scripture, that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means, "My teacher." Then Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So she went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. And then in today's gospel, I'm just going to read again the bit about Thomas. That evening, so remember this is the same day, that evening Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Sanctify us, Lord, in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Poor Thomas. We'll never let him forget. It happens. One mistake and you're branded for life. People won't let you forget. For example, in the whole Good Friday event, apart from Jesus, of course, who are the characters we remember most and why? So who are they? Anyone? Good Friday? What happens on Good Friday? Peter? Yes, Peter denies Jesus three times. Who else? The disciples ran away. What's another major character? Judas. So Judas also betrays Jesus. And who's one of the central figures that condemns Jesus to death? Pilate. So we tend to think of Pilate as well. So the memorable people are usually the bad guys or the people who do something that we think is really memorable and wrong. In his resurrection account, however, who is it who stands out, or should I say, cops it every time? Who is it? We just heard it in the reading. Thomas. Yep, it's Thomas. The guy who wouldn't believe. Let's try to relive those remarkable events. We look in on the disciples on that first Sunday evening. Doors locked. Still afraid. Jesus' mother bewildered. Rumors that Jesus was alive. The women have seen the angel. They've even seen him. Certainly the tomb was empty. We heard Peter and John who went and walked right in and saw the cloths. And Jesus had said that he would die and rise again. But who can believe that? It just doesn't happen. And in fact, in that reading that I read from the last week's gospel, we heard that they still didn't understand that this is what scripture had said, that he would die and rise again. Then, hammering on the door, we've got remarkable news. And in tumble two men, all breathless with excitement, running all the way from Emmaus. We've seen him. He broke bread with us. He's alive. The whole room erupts in a babble of voices, excited, doubtful, questioning. Then suddenly, hush. A familiar figure stands there. No one had unlocked the door, but there he stood and spoke these familiar words. Peace be with you. Some were scared. From the Gospel of Luke, we hear them, they say, it's his ghost. And yet there were no more doubts. It was true, wonderfully, thrillingly, gloriously true. Jesus was alive. Death could not hold him, then or ever. But one of them was missing, Thomas. Yes, let's go and tell him. Won't he be excited? So a group of them dashed off and burst in on him. Thomas, Thomas, we've got the most wonderful news. Jesus, he's alive. But Thomas wheels on them. No, don't say things like that. Don't be so cruel. But we've seen him. He spoke to us. We touched him. I can see Thomas in sullen determination, shaking his head. Look, I don't know what you think you saw or imagined you felt, unless I will not believe. Was he just being bloody-minded? Just an ignorant clod? Maybe he was a bit slow on the uptake. But he certainly wasn't superficial. He wasn't the kind to jump into anything quickly. But once he jumped, his commitment was complete. Maybe then, his commitment and love for Jesus was even deeper than that of the others. And I think I can hear Thomas saying, no, not again. It hurt too much the first time. I can't have such hopes crushed again. But Jesus met his needs, answered his doubts. And Thomas knew that he should not have doubted. All he can do is fall on his knees, my Lord and my God. Jesus adds a significant statement, a mild reproof for Thomas, but a wonderful encouragement for us. Thomas, you had to see before you would believe, but I say, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And that means us. Why do we believe? Just a few basic points. One, we have the witness of those who said, we have seen him. We were there. Two, the testimony of the Holy Spirit in our hearts that this is God's word and it is true. Three, the experience of the living Christ in our lives. Look, even if there were no life after death, I would still say that being a Christian is worth it 100 times over. Knowing that God is there has been such a rewarding and enriching experience just in this life already. Four, my last point is this. I see Jesus in you. In the love and joy that radiates from Christians, there I see God. I see God even more in your suffering and in pain, disability, continuously overcome, when life seems to deliver one blow after another, and yet people cling to God. There I see the miracle of faith, There especially, God's word is true. Blessed. The peace of the Lord be with us all. Amen.